Let us be seated as we pray. Lord, we bless your holy name. Above all else, may you be glorified and magnified in this place and in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we lift our voice to worship you, body, soul, and spirit. You are the God of all goodness. You pour life and light and hope and mercy out into our lives, into all the world. You are the reason that we sing. We come into this year with all hope and rejoicing because you are the great I am. Because you are the one who sent his Son to dwell with us and to die for our sins, that we might be with you forever and always. We love you, Lord. We desire to live for you. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to do this? Would you keep our God in the forefront of our heart and mind as we go about our daily lives? May we enter this new year asking and seeking and knocking so boldly, confidently, with assurance that God, you are who you say you are. As we come to you, Lord, and we ask you to do things that only you can do, we come with hearts full of prayer and believing. You are the great and glorious God, and we praise you in this place, and we praise you among the nations. Father, this morning we thank you for Smithton United Methodist Church. We thank you for the spirit of worship and prayer that is being released right now in that congregation. We thank you for their hearts turned toward you. We thank you for their great love for you and for one another. Father, would you bless and encourage them this morning? Grant them your strength and your peace that passes understanding. We praise you. And Jesus, we thank you for teaching your disciples to pray so beautifully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to us all. We are a singing people. The Methodists were known as the singing and shouting Methodist, and we sing our theology. I want us to sing one of the songs of the Advent season, and it's simply entitled, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Charles Wesley, the brother to John Wesley, wrote over 6,000 hymns in his lifetime. And this one that we just sang is an Advent carol. But I would remind us that that season just before Christmas, when we remember the first coming of Jesus as the babe in Bethlehem, also draws us to an awareness of his second coming, the advent of Christ's coming, the longing of every human heart for all that has been wrong to be made right. And you hear echoes of it throughout the song as he comes, born to reign in our hearts forever and ever. And by his sufficient merit, he raises us to his glorious throne. We were having Christmas at my father's house on the night of the 25th, and everyone had made it home for this Christmas. Everyone was there. Lots of noise and laughter and fun and food and play. And in the midst of it, my son Kurt, who is a worship leader, says, guess what we sang at church this morning? He's a worship leader in an independent Christian church. He said, we sang, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And he began to clap out a beat because he did not have his guitar. And away he went, belting out the words of the song that we all just sang. And before long, here came his sister to chime in. Then my dad, myself, who didn't add too much to the mix, a few others. And before you knew it, we were into the second verse with four-part harmony being sung by a few Methodists, Baptists, independent Christians, united in a 300-year-old song of our tradition. Singing has always been a part of our way of praising God as the people of God. And today we're going to look at a song of the ancients. In fact, it is merely titled A Song. And you and I may know it better as Psalm 46. But before we read it, we should pray. So let's do that right now. Gracious and loving God, raise us to your glorious throne. It is the longing of our heart today that your kingdom would break forth not in only a few places, but everywhere. And we know that will happen when Christ comes again in final victory and his glory and your glory is renowned throughout the earth. But until that day, Lord, you hold our hearts in trust. You hold those who have gone before. And we await the outbreak of something brand new and fresh in us and in your beautiful world that you have loved so deeply. May the presence of your Spirit whisper to our hearts this day your words of truth, that they may transform us into the people that you could always believe that we would become. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is really, really a weird weekend. Last night, we started with our weekend services on the last day of last year. And today, we start freshly this morning, worshiping on the first day of a brand new year. And straddling 2 years in a few hour period can cause us to think about perspective and life in general. And I think it's fair to ask questions like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Or where do I find my true happiness and fulfillment? Or how can I have a better year this year than last year? Or will the Chiefs really make it to the Super Bowl this year? You know, the really big, important questions of life. Start is a new message series about beginnings. And I love new things, and I imagine you do too. Like, who doesn't love a new car? The way it handles, the confidence that it won't break down on the road, the look, the promise that we will never, ever, ever eat in this car like we did in the last one. And we'll keep it clean. And oh, the smell. Nothing quite like new car smell. I've known several men over the years who said if they made that into an aftershave, I'd wear it all day long. You can almost smell it now. But give it time. The smell gets funky, the car gets dirty on the outside and the inside. Now, eating in the car is one thing, but when you're living out of the car, that's quite another matter. We enjoyed the beauty of the poinsettias in this last Christmas season. After all, they are the Christmas flower, but after 3 or 4 weeks of being in here, their beauty fades fast. If we could lose pounds like this is losing leaves, we would probably be really happy with this new year. But just like that loving feeling, their leaves are gone, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. And that's why I don't sing on a regular basis. Who hasn't loved a baby? I mean, the birth of a brand new baby, it's exciting and it's joy-filled and it's a blessing. But with it comes sleepless nights, schedule adjustments, and diapers. Lots of diapers. New is great until it's not so great. I think we're surrounded by false hopes and dreams and beliefs, and oftentimes we've leaned our ladder against the building and we climb to the top only to realize we've leaned it against the wrong wall. We've trusted in the wrong things. This is one of my favorite commercials that I think illustrates the point. Would you watch it with me? Do you ever feel like that? I mean, you do all the work only to discover that you made this huge error. I think there's an erroneous view of life that's prevalent in our day, but I think it's probably been prevalent since the beginning of time. And it goes something like this. I can live however I want. It's my life. Now, people that have that kind of philosophy or approach really don't care what you or I think. They don't care about whose feelings get hurt or what gets messed up in life. But what if we are fundamentally starting in the wrong place with that notion? I can live however I want. It's my life. Some people make this their life philosophy. They're the center of their own universe, and the whole rest of the world better watch out. They won't let anything or anyone get in the way. But what if you and I were to believe that our life is a gift from God? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, as God is creating humanity, he's gathered the dust. And it says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, a living soul. What if we were to believe that our life is a gift from God? And all throughout Scripture, we read passages that remind us of this statement. What if you and I were to believe that our life matters to God? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, not as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God believes that your life matters so much that he doesn't want you or me to perish. Your life is a gift from God, and your life does matter to God. You know, churches are known for offering words of creed or statements of belief. And I just simply want to offer these next words as a statement of creed or belief in this year. And if you'd like to join me in saying these words with me, that would be great. I will live for God and with God and in God. What if that was our starting place this year and every year of our life? Well, it brings us to Psalm 46. It's just simply entitled a song. There's an extra little line that says, according to Alamoth, and worship leaders who have studied this far more extensively than I have come to believe that the word Alamoth just means to change keys. In other words, with every verse, you just go up a half step, and it gets brighter and more intense as you sing. Psalm 46 was the song of the ancients to express that they understood life, that their life is a gift from God, and that their lives matter to God. And they didn't just turn to God in the storms and in the difficult times, but they turned to God always and in all ways. So let's consider this text this morning. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And if I were going to be studying this in my Bible, I would underline that we're not going to fear. But the first thing I would do is I would circle the first two words, God is. Not God was or God will be. God is a present help in our trouble. But present not only when we have trouble, present to us always at all times. And that's why we don't have to fear. Though the mountains tremble and are cast into the sea, though the waters are raging, don't fear. God is. Now, there's also this little notation next to many of the Psalms, and it's this word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And I want to invite you to say the word out loud with me. Ready? Here we go. Selah. And our best understanding of that word is pause. Now, I used to read a book to a three-year-old, and the three-year-old would get distracted, and the three-year-old would look up at me and say, pause it. Pause it. And then they would come back from whatever it was that distracted them, and they were ready to read more of the book, and they'd say, unpause. But in this passage, it's saying, take some moment and let it soak in. God is. So fear not. Continuing, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High God dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And I think what is so significant to me is that all throughout Scripture, there's this dichotomy between what happens in the darkness through the night and what happens with the dawning of a brand new day. There is a real battle that goes on in life and for our life. And it's the power of darkness and the power of good and light that dawns with the brand new day. And I don't know about you, but I think I could list off several things that cause me concern during the night. There are times when I have restless nights and I have to check the things I'm thinking about and the things that I've let come into my soul that are tearing at me. And with the dawning of a brand new day, there is a fresh start. Every time the sun rises, it is about God's faithfulness being renewed for us every morning. And the passage in Scripture that says, mourning and sorrow will last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Continuing in this psalm, it says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. You could just put that right next to the headlines of nearly any paper, any day. We see the nations in uproar and kingdoms falling, but God is speaking in the midst of it. And here's the declaration of the psalmist. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us. He is our fortress. And then again the word, pause. Reflect on it. Dwell in that for just a moment. And then the psalm continues, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has wrought on the end of the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields, in other translations, chariots with fire. Now, get this. When you and I think about desolation, we think about destruction. We think about wreaking havoc. When the Bible uses God and desolation in the same sentence, it's not the way we use it. Did you notice that? It says, look at this desolation that God has brought on the earth. He causes wars to cease, and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the shields of fire. In other words, he's messing up our plans. We want destruction. We want payback. We want evil for evil. But God's desolation is to bring peace and good and restoration. And if we were to use it in the context of our living today, You might have a teenager who likes to use their floor as the place for everything they own to dwell. And they say they decide for the new year, I'm tired of stepping on all this mess. And they go in and they clean it all up. And it is perfectly put away. And you meet your spouse at the door so excited and you say, come and see the desolation that our young person has done to their room. And to their surprise, they see it all put back into place. That's what's happening here. It's a great reversal. And it's beautiful. And then the crowning verse of this passage is the 10th verse. And then you know it. And here it is. In fact, I invite us to say it out loud. Ready? Here we go. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How is God going to be exalted in the nations and among the earth? For his people to tell of his praise, of his goodness. Do you know your witness of thanksgiving, your witness of grace, your witness of bringing God into the situation is exalting the one who made us, who gives our life significance and says that they matter. But that only comes when we have stillness. When we take the moments to truly know God. Not just know about God, but truly know God. And that verse, among all verses, is just simply saying, pause it. You know, for me to be able to see the goodness of God, and just for me personally, I need to spend a whole lot less time on my cell phone. I need to quit scheduling 3 days of work in 1 day's time. I need to quit hanging out with people who are constantly pulling down instead of building up. That only comes when you take the moment to finally get still and for God and you to do an assessment of your life. What would it take for you and me to experience God in this brand new year, to carve out time with him, to live for him and in him and with him forever and always? Hey, if you would, take your bulletin for just a moment, if you got it. See the front cover? It's about starting. And if you who are creatives or artists, or even if you aren't, want to do this, I just want to invite you to go home and find the appropriate size piece of paper for you and start with a blank piece of paper. And then just put a little red dot or whatever color dot you want to put on the paper. And then draw your hope, your desire, what you believe God wants to do in you and through you in this coming year. And we'll bring it back next week. And we're going to talk about Isaiah 55, what we'll put on display, your Picasso pieces of art. And I want to tell you, I've already received one, and it's going to be hard to beat this one. One of the little girls in our service last night made that the head of a little girl going to church. But what if you and I have a fresh start this year with God? What might God do with you and me if we just simply said, here I am, I'm all yours. Being Wesleyan people, we have a tradition that has been handed down from our forefathers and foremothers who sang these songs like Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And the tradition is to join in a covenant prayer, a prayer that is a prayer of abandonment. It's a big prayer. It's bigger than I'm able to live into right now. But I'm hoping and trusting with God that in time that I can own every word of this prayer. Because it's simply saying, God, take charge of me. Here's my life. And so, pray this prayer with me, fully acknowledging that not every word we can live fully today, but desiring that we could live this fully in surrender to him. And here's that prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. We are yours, and you are ours. The Lord God Almighty, the God of Jacob, is our refuge and strength. May the deep desire of our heart this day and all the days of this year simply be, I will live with you and for you and in you, Lord. Take us to places that we have not yet been, to deeper depths of love and connection with you, God. May your beautiful word be cherished in our hearts. May it shape our lives. May it remind us that our life is a gift, and that our life matters to you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today we begin this brand new year in celebrating an ancient meal. When Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room, he took bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat this and do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after the supper, he took the cup and he gave a blessing to his Father in heaven. And then he said, "Drink from this, all of you. It's the new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Our God is inviting us to this table of salvation and grace and hope and forgiveness and love. And no one is excluded. All are welcome. And as you come today, you're invited to take the bread and dip it in the cup and receive from God all that you need in this moment in your life. So for those who are going to be serving us, would you please come forward? And then all our welcome guests at this table, won't you come? And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us now and always. Amen. Go in God's grace and have a great and beautiful week. God bless you. Happy New Year.